Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From the Gospel reading, Mark chapter 6, when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, don't be afraid. This is our text. If I told you that the Christian life would be easy, that the Christian life would be simple and easy, I'd be lying. And if anyone else were to tell you that the Christian life is easy, they would be lying too. Christianity is true, and the Christian life is good, but following Jesus Christ isn't easy. Just ask the disciples. There's nothing easy about trusting Jesus. Not when he makes you climb into a boat and then goes off to pray by himself. And that's true even if there are other experienced sailors in the boat with you. There's nothing easy about trusting Jesus, not when the wind is against you and the waves are all up in your face so that you can't even see where you're going and you're really struggling but getting nowhere fast. There's nothing easy about trusting Jesus, not when it's the middle of the night and you don't know what in the world or maybe what from another world you're seeing and hearing and terror grips you. The disciples had been there. They had been there in all of those places. It happened right after Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go across the sea while he went up on the mountain to pray. He made them get into the boat. Now, they probably didn't have a second thought about it. They were good sailors. They'd been on the Sea of Galilee before, until the middle of the night came along. And then I suspect if they had a moment, they might have been scratching their heads saying, why in the world did he make us get into this boat? No second thoughts until the middle of the night, until that thing came to them walking on the sea. It isn't always easy to trust Jesus. It's not always easy to listen to him. It's not always easy to let him guide your life. You may not want to go where he sends you. You may not want to hear what he has to say. You may not want to do what he tells you to do, or maybe you really want to do what he tells you not to do. Maybe you don't think that he'll keep his promises to you. Maybe you're not sure that he'll really see you through and meet you on the other side. I wonder what your trust issues with Jesus are today. Because we all have them. And it's way easier not to trust Jesus. It's way easier to turn back. It would have been far easier for the disciples to leave the boat and walk away from him, to go their own direction, to decide that they can't trust anyone except themselves. At the very least, it's easier to doubt Jesus, especially when he's pushed you out into the middle of the sea of a stormy lake on a dark night, and he's nowhere to be seen. What does he know about what we're going through right now? We wonder. What was he thinking when he sent us into this mess? We ask. Where is he? Or more likely, based on the example of the disciples and our own life experience, more likely, we're not thinking about him at all, but we're only thinking about ourselves and the wind and the waves and how we're going to get ourselves out of this mess. Did you notice what the disciples didn't do in the middle of the storm, at least in the way that Mark tells it to us? They never cried out to him for help, not even once, not that we hear anyway. Now, maybe they thought Jesus was too far away because he's out there on the mountain praying and they're in the middle of the lake, but they never once pray to him. Oh, they were busy pulling at the oars. They were busy bailing out that water. They were busy probably sniping and snapping at each other, They were so busy trying to rescue themselves that they weren't even thinking about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you should drop the oars and the buckets in the middle of a storm. That's not the lesson today. If God gives you a bucket and oars in the middle of the storm, by all means, use them. But how about praying as well? How about calling out to Him for help while you frantically toss water over the side? Because God invites us to call to Him. He invites us to call to Him in every single trouble. I wonder what it will be like when we pass through the pearly gates one day and God looks at our lives with us and He points out all those moments of trouble that we had in which we never once called out to Him for help. Can you imagine? I don't think He's going to throw it in our face. Prayer to God is a gift. It is a privilege, and it is a privilege that's been given to you and to me, even if we often neglect it. And it is a spiritual tool. Yes, buckets and oars can be great, but prayer is a wonderful gift and tool from God that He gives us for every single one of life's storms. Now, the disciples weren't praying for Jesus. They weren't looking for Jesus. They weren't even hoping for Jesus. I'm not sure He was even on their minds. That might be why they weren't ready for Him when He showed up, when He came to them across the water, and they thought He was a ghost. You heard what it said. All of them were terrified. Peter and Andrew and James and John and all 12 of them were scared out of their minds. Why was that? They found it easier to believe in ghost stories than in their God. Which I suppose is not that hard to understand. How many find it easier to believe in a haunted house or a supernatural occurrence than in the resurrection of Christ? How many are fascinated by UFO stories but find the Gospels boring or unbelievable? But still, Jesus came to them. Still, Jesus came to them, an unidentified object walking on the sea. And Mark tells us that Jesus meant to pass by them. He was just going to walk right on past. That's strange, isn't it? Why would He do that? What would be the point? To walk past them in that moment, Jesus would have done it to strengthen them with a show of His power. In the middle of a storm, it's enough just to glimpse Jesus and know that He's near. In the middle of a storm, it's enough just to hear His strong and reassuring voice. In the middle of a storm, it's enough just to be reminded that He sees you and that He loves you and that He will never let you perish, not eternally. Seeing Jesus walk across the water is even better than seeing a rainbow. On our vacation, when we were in Iowa, we saw a double rainbow. It wasn't crystal clear all the way through, but it was absolutely gorgeous and amazing. Every rainbow is a sign of God's promise never again to destroy the earth with water. A good rainbow is stunning. But Jesus, the one walking on the water that day, is the one who created the rainbow. He's the one who set the colors in their order. And just to see Jesus pass by is a reminder of what Job said about God. He alone stretched the heavens out, and He trampled on the waves of the sea. The wind and the waves that frighten us are nothing to Him. The disorder and chaos of this fallen world are under His feet. The depths cannot swallow Him, and they cannot keep those who are His. They cannot have you. He stretched out the sea. He marked out the boundaries of the water, and He walks across the water as if He owns it, because He does. And He comes across the water for His disciples. And they still don't get it. When He's walking across those waves, they think He's a ghost. They don't get it. Do you? They didn't realize that this was God in the human flesh, come to rescue and save them and to remind them of His power and might over the entire creation. Instead of being comforted when they saw Jesus, they were terrified. But our Lord will not leave them in their terror, and He will not leave you in terror either. Without hesitation, without waiting a second moment, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid. This same Jesus is the Jesus who went to the cross for your sake and for mine. He walked on the water, he treaded on the depths, and then he went into the depths of our sin and our fallen world and the depths of death itself when he hung on the cross and was buried. I'll tell you, there's something greater that he did. There's something he did that's greater than walking on the water. It's when he walked out of the tomb on the third day. Even better than walking across the sea is coming out of the grave and coming out of death, showing that he has triumphed and he is victorious, so that there is no storm, there are no wind, no waves, not even death itself that can rob you of Jesus or rob Jesus of you. You belong to him. You belong to the one who is Lord of the wind and the waves. You belong to the one who is master of death. You belong to the one who has conquered the devil and who has paid for every single sin. You are his. And he says to you today, "Take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid." You can trust this Jesus. You can trust him even when you're not sure that you can see him clearly. You can trust him even when it's a shadowy sort of presence coming to you over the wind and the waves. You can trust him even when his word sounds like a still, small voice, just a whisper in your ear, reminding you that he loves you and that he is near. Our Lord went through the chaos. He went through the dread. He went through the depths, and he stands on the other side alive, risen from the dead, as your Lord and as your Savior. And yes, I know we may still at times find ourselves out in a stormy sea in the middle of the night. We may find the waves and the wind crashing against us. The rains seem like they'll never end. The storms continue. And still Jesus says to you, today, tomorrow, through every storm and every wind and every rain, take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. Take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. The Christian life here isn't easy. It's not always easy to follow Jesus. It's not always easy to trust that he'll be there. It's not always easy to believe that he'll meet us on the other side, whether we make it across or sink to the bottom. But he will. We belong to him. He redeemed us by his own suffering and death. And he comes to us now across death to remind us that we are his and that he is ours. And that as we live under him in his kingdom now, we will live under him in his kingdom there forever. But there will be no storms anymore. There will be no wind. There will be no waves. In the book of Revelation, it says there is no longer any sea. The threatening chaos of water will not be there, but our Lord will be there, shining in all his brilliance, in all his glory. Our Lord will be there to greet us, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." In Jesus' name, amen.